more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. I'm your host, Gary Harris, talking sports and more over the next couple of hours. Reed Karch is in this morning, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Congratulations to Chase Brumfield, who's graduating from Mississippi State this weekend. So he's getting the cap and gown. Yeah, we don't necessarily love the school, but we are happy for Chase to get that diploma. So Reed's in this morning. Wyatt Fulton hanging out with us for a little bit as well. Got a good show on tap for you. I'm going to tell you all about it in just a moment. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by our friends at Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, believe me, it's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's the lineup for today. And we don't usually have guests this early, but had to arrange the schedule a little bit differently. And 9:15, we've got a first-time guest. Blake Patterson is from Birmingham-based WonderFan, a fan engagement platform. They're teaming up with Nidini to level up the fan experience at the CM Newton Classic. Of course, this is a huge game between number one Arizona and number 12 Alabama tomorrow night at the Legacy Arena through the WonderLip app. Fans can enter to win 4 tickets to the game and earn additional Wonder by engaging in multiple ways, including watch to earn, attend to earn, pick to earn. We're going to tell you all about it, and Blake Patterson is going to tell you how you can get involved in WonderFan at 9:15. Then at 9:30, Adam Amin, one of the best in the business, one of the best play-by-play broadcasters going today. Fox Sports will be with us to talk NFL and NBA and maybe a little Major League Baseball as well. And then at 10:30, Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz will be in with the Auburn Report. We didn't talk to him last week because he was calling the Alabama High School Athletic Association state championship games. So he'll jump on with us to tell us his impression of Alex Gulish and talk some Auburn football and basketball. As always, if you want to join in on the program, 205-342-9904 is the number, 205-342-9904. Alabama football, I call it kind of the calm before the storm when you have what is essentially a bye week, and then you play the next week, in this case on Friday night. Teams working, teams getting ready, trying to get guys healthy. I do think we got some media availability today, don't we? Yeah, some media availability today, but for the most part this week, it's been kind of low-key, but some players will be talking today. We'll have coverage here, of course, at Tide 100.9 FM, and then Alex Booth will have it for you tonight on WVUA 23 News at 5. And then next week, it'll be full speed ahead as we'll be building toward the game, and everything's moved up. You know, you've got the 3 games on Saturday, but with Alabama playing on Friday night out in Norman, they'll leave Thursday next week. So it'll be a short week to some degree. Everything will be ratcheted up. But for now, it's a little bit low-key. Again, the Michigan story is dominating the headlines in college football with Sherrone Moore. Kalen DeBoer's name has been linked to that opening, but just my personal opinion, this is not any sources, anything like that. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going anywhere, but we will we'll see how it plays out. NFL last night, big win for the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. Now you're saying, well, Carolina Panthers didn't play. No, they didn't, but they got a big win because the Atlanta Falcons, despite this stupid analytics crap, overcame it and beat the Bucs last night in Tampa Bay 29-28. What does that mean? Well, it means the Tampa Bay Bucs fall into second place in the NFC South behind Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. Now, the reason I talk about the analytics is the Falcons were down 28-14. They scored a touchdown, and they went for two. I think it's these analytics people, they have to justify their jobs. So I was texting with D. Orlando Ledbetter about it last night. We're like, what in the heck, man? They go for two, they don't make it, so they're down 28-20. Well, they scored again. Well, now you got to go for two. You don't make it, you're down two, 28-26. But give the Falcons defense credit. They got the ball back for the Falcons, and the Falcons kicked a field goal in the last play of the game, a 43-yarder, to win it 29-28. Now, the Falcons deserve that game. They've had so many heartbreaking losses, and they outplayed the Bucs last night. 19 penalties. Let me ask you guys, I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen in sports. Very rarely do you win a game in the NFL with 19 penalties. But Kyle Pitts, now listen. We saw the best of Kirk Cousins last night. Let me tell you something. I mean, this guy's been up and down his whole career, but 30 of 44 for 373 yards and three touchdowns, and Kyle Pitts had the best game of his NFL career. In fact, he had not gone over 100 yards since his rookie season. Can you believe that, as talented as that guy is? But you must have him on your fantasy team. But last night, 11 catches, 166 yards, and three touchdowns. And they had to have it. The Falcons really had to have it. This is a team that's, you know, all they're trying to do is play spoiler. But Raheem Morris is coaching for his job. And he's got one thing going for him. In that the owner, Arthur Blank, really likes him. So that was a big win for him. And the Falcons didn't have Drake London last night. So I said, when we talked to Orlando yesterday, I said, you know, Kyle Pitts needs to step up. Well, boy, he stepped up. How many fantasy, I don't play fantasy anymore. How many fantasy points did he have last night?
I ended up going to bed before the end of the game on that final drive. I don't know if he caught anything on that final drive, but he had 35 and a half when I went to bed, and it was a 8-point game.
Yeah, for a tight end, that's off the charts. That's so good for him, good for the Falcons, and really good for our, I call them our Carolina Panthers, because I want to see Bryce Young win that division so bad. And, you know, the thing about the Panthers, you know, we know they've been in a full rebuild mode, but Dave Canales has brought some stability, and Bryce Young is coming into his own. I think he's going to be a big-time NFL quarterback. This team is going to go, they're going to get better and better, but let's be honest. Nobody expected them to win a division this year. Now, here's the thing, too. Sunday, they got a team that they should beat, but this team beat them in Charlotte. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. Carolina needs to get payback, and if they, you know, technically right now they're a half game ahead in this, but if they win, they will be a full game ahead on Sunday. You got the new updated total on Pitts. Oh,
no, yeah. I was just Bryce Young's career stats versus the New Orleans Saints, who they play this Sunday.
I bet they're not good.
54% completion percentage, 746 yards, two touchdowns, four picks.
Well, he needs to change that on Sunday. He needs to make amends. Because, yeah, they played terrible against the Saints up in. If they had won that game, they'd be sitting pretty right now, Reed. All right, tell you what, it's 9:13. Let's go ahead and get to our break, since we got a guest coming up in the next segment. And I'm going to learn about Wonder. I'm going to learn about this Wonder fan app as well with you. Blake Patterson is going to join us. And what a huge game tomorrow night over at the Legacy Arena. Reed, I've got Alex and Hunter going for the TV station. Now I'm a little disappointed that I didn't put myself down to go. At the time, I'm like, yeah, Saturday night. But now it's like, man, that would have been, that's going to be an event tomorrow night. It really is. All right, let's. Let's get to our break and come back with Blake Patterson from WonderFan, explaining exactly what it is and how you can get on it and have a chance to win four tickets to the game tomorrow night between number 12 Alabama and number 1 Arizona. We'll do that next right here on the Gary Harris Show. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special. Picture.
Shop appliance savings on select appliances at the Home Depot. Offer valid December 11th through January 1st. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
In another language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm up today, mostly sunny, the high 61. Tonight, fair with the low at 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. Much colder Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports.
And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights.
Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show.
Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Taking a break from the holiday music this morning because it's a TGIF edition of the show. And you know what we do on Fridays? We play that weekend music to get you fired up. And that's what Willie, Mobile's own Jimmy Hall with Weekend, one of the great weekend songs. And what a great weekend coming up in Birmingham when you've got number one Arizona in town to take on number 12 Alabama in the CM Newton Classic at the Legacy Arena. And this is a huge game, not just for Alabama, but for Arizona, which is at number one, and for national implications for basketball. Joining us to discuss a special fan experience that you can get involved in is Blake Patterson. He's the co-founder and CEO of WonderFan. I got an email from these folks earlier this week. I thought it was very interesting, so I emailed back, and Blake is on to tell us all about it and how you can get involved and have a special fan experience tomorrow night for the CM Newton Classic. Good morning, Blake. How are you?
Gary, I'm doing well, and happy Friday to you.
Absolutely. Beautiful day out there today, and boy, what a game we've got on tap for tomorrow night. 8:30 tip, which I think is kind of cool because people can be there in the uptown area, get an experience, dinner, hang out, and then get ready for this big basketball game. Before we get into specifics of WonderFan, just give us an overview, and because I don't know much about it. I know you're teaming up with Night Edie for this fan experience through WonderFan. Tell us a little bit about WonderFan and how it got started.
Yeah, so, you know, WonderFan actually has a sister app that we created overseas, which was called Wonder Par, which was the first golf app in the world where you got paid to play golf.
Oh, wow.
And so what we did is we mapped out golf courses overseas. And so as soon as you got onto the golf course, you started earning our Wonder Coin, WUNDER. It's a coin. It's a crypto token that's not liquidated. So essentially, it's kind of like an arcade ticket. And when you get that ticket, that gives you the ability to go into our shop right there in the app and buy products. That's your ROI. And so what we did is we wanted to say, you know, we want to really create a 24/7, 365 app because you only play so much golf. You only go to so many sporting events. And so we created a league, which was called the Wonder League. And Callaway came to us and they said, hey, we want to be your official sponsor. More and more sponsors came on, and I thought to myself, all right, we've really got something here. So,
yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about Alabama basketball today, but really kind of where my thesis came from was actually Nick Saban, because I heard Nick Saban talk about for 15 to 16 years at the podium on Mondays after a game, you know, standing behind the Dasani water bottle and the Coke bottle saying, I'm not having an issue of getting students into Bryant-Denny. I'm having an issue of keeping them in Bryant-Denny. And a lot of times that was because they were kicking people's butts by halftime, whether it was LSU or Tennessee or, you know, Auburn once every 4 years, and it was a competitive game. And I thought to myself, how do we gamify the fan experience? How do we say in a world where we're a bunch of ADD goldfish, we're doing something that we're already doing, but we can get a cherry on top? And so we created WonderFan, which got a multiple way that you can earn this coin, whether it's going to the game. It's our patent-pending technology where you can take a picture of the game. You can pick who you think's going to win, not based off the line, but literally who you think's going to win, Alabama or Arizona. And we have a news feed as well. So there's a multitude of ways that you can earn. And at the end of the day, you're able to get products at either a cost that's nothing to you or a very discounted cost.
Well, this sounds exciting for sure, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to want to get involved. As for the specific game tomorrow night with the CM Newton Classic, I know that there's some, and you've already talked about engaging and different opportunities to earn, but for tomorrow night specifically, what do you have planned?
Yeah, so, you know, Legacy Arena is a big arena. It holds roughly about 17,000 people. So what we're going to do is the entire arena will be mapped out. So as soon as you go into the arena, you already have the app downloaded. When you hit earn, it'll pull up Legacy Arena right there for you. And all you have to do is you hit go. And as soon as that, you're earning. That's it. You put your phone in your pocket. You enjoy the game. You know, when you go to a sporting event or you go to a play golf, you're doing that to get away, right? Like, you're doing that to enjoy the experience. And we want to make that as easy as possible on the user, on the fan. And so we're going to have some things that we do that will have raffles during the game. But it doesn't just stop there. You know, if you're at home and you're, whether you're in Tuscaloosa, you're in L.A., or you're in Miami, Florida, it doesn't matter. The game coming on ESPN at 8:30, if you hit watch to earn, we have a live sports API feed that shows you every game from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, rugby, you name it. And you click onto the game, it reads the score bug. So it'll say Alabama versus Arizona. It reads where the teams are. It reads the jersey colors, the acronyms. And then you get credit. You get 100 wonder for just taking a picture of that game right then and there. And that's it. That's all you have to do.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it sounds too good to be true. I mean, I know it is true because you're explaining how it works.
We've heard that many times.
Yeah, basically you're earning just for watching games that you'd be watching anyway. Just like you started with playing golf, you get paid to play golf. Believe me, that'd be the only time I'd ever get paid to play golf. I promise you that. But this is unbelievable. So if people want to download the app, how do they do it?
Yeah, you literally just go to the App Store and just type in Wonder Fan, and it's right there. And, you know, as your point of saying it's too good to be true, look, that's one of the things that we got told early on when we went viral out at the University of Oregon, because we found out there's a Chipotle in the student union. So we mapped out the campus and said anybody that goes to class Monday through Friday, you're going to get paid to go to class. But at the end of the day, our thesis is, we are creating opportunity for everybody involved. And what does that mean? That means the fans. That means the brands, the teams, the leagues, and anybody else involved. So when you earn that coin and you're able to go into our shop and buy products, what we're able to do is we're able to reduce that CAC, that customer acquisition cost, for these brands, whether you are a big box brand or you're a startup company. But we have everybody from DoorDash, Lululemon, Amazon, Walmart, all the way to here in about a month, we'll have tickets on there. So we'll have $25,000 worth of tickets every single month, whether it be sporting events or musical events, where you're able to get tickets at a reduced cost because you can apply your wonder to that ticket, but we'll also do raffles. So at the end of the day, like I alluded to, everybody wins from this.
Wow. Well, Blake, man, I appreciate you coming on and explaining it. Folks, just get to the App Store, download that Wonder Fan app, and start earning to watch games that you enjoy watching, including, of course, tomorrow night with the CM Newton Classic, particularly if you're going, you know, get into that arena and get that app on your phone and go to work. Hey, thank you so much, Blake.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, appreciate it. All right, it is 9:25. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go ahead and Pat's on hold. We want to try to go and take him now, Reed. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call because we got Adam Amin coming up in the next segment, and I don't want Pat to have to stay on hold at 10 o'clock, although he loves the show. He'd probably be one to do it, but we got time to squeeze you in. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Man. Hey, we have got to get Ty and the rest of the Alabama offense on this deal I'm going to bring up this morning. Every drive ends with a kick. I prefer a PAT, but every drive ends with a kick. That means no interceptions, no fumbles. Every drive ends with a kick, and we can beat Oklahoma. What do you think?
Yeah, I've always liked that strategy too, Pat. I've always liked those coaches that said, you know, Saban among them, hey, if every drive ends in a kick, we're going to be okay. That means we're not turning it over. That means we're not, you know, going for it and not making it. So, yeah, you'd rather be, you know, point after touchdowns, field goals, but their punting's not a bad thing. And, of course, unless you get it blocked so, or give a punt return, which they got it blocked against Georgia, gave a punt return against Oklahoma. That was, that damaged them. But yeah, if you can, you know, get back to just being fundamentally sound, what beat Alabama against Oklahoma the first time was the turnovers, period. That was it. That's what beat them. They moved the football consistently all day. They made plays, but you had a pick six, which was potentially a 14-point swing because Alabama was driving. You had a costly fumble by Ty, and then you had a fumble by Ryan Williams on a punt return that led to a touchdown, Mateer's touchdown, and you got a field goal blocked. So, yeah, you're right, man. They got to play clean. If they play clean, they can win the game.
Oh, absolutely. But, man, I'm glad that you had that guy on before. I'm going to give that thing a try. What, again, was the name of that app?
Yeah, it is WonderFan. WonderFan. So if you go to your app store and just download one of these, this sounds like it's a no-brainer. I mean, it really sounds like, listen, I'm watching games. I might as well earn while I'm watching and get a chance to buy some great items.
Yeah. I got three of my buddies are going with me. We're all going over and probably going to maybe eat with old George Sayers over there. He used to be his federal inspector.
Oh, yeah.
Over there in downtown. And George is a great Greek guy.
Oh, absolutely. He knows how to cook. He can cook up some seafood, too, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Man, like I said, and he always had the freshest quality available in that area, other than Bob Baumhauer. Bob Baumhauer in Birmingham, Bob uses only Alabama shrimp, and when he can. And hey, everything else about Bob is special, too. But I just wanted to talk about this, about everything ending in a kick. And if we can get that across to our offense, that we're going to go in Oklahoma and beat this bunch. And, hey, I feel real good about the matchup out in Cali, too. I really do. And I know my daughter-in-law and son, they've already arranged tickets to go to that one. So I won't be going to that one. But anyway, you have a blessed day, sir, and roll tide.
Thank you so much, Pat. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And I think you're right, man. You go out there to Oklahoma, and if every possession isn't a kick, I think Alabama will win the football game. All right, it's 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. When we come back, Adam Amin, play-by-play broadcaster for Fox Sports, going to talk some NFL, MLB, and NBA. He's one of the best in the business. We'll have him for you next right here on the Gary Harris Show.
Home of Alabama sports.
The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear and Sports.
And that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
All right, 9:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Time for Fox Sports play-by-play broadcaster Adam Amin. He'll be on the call along with Drew Brees and Christina Pink on a Sunday at 3:25 Central Time. The Tennessee Titans at the San Francisco 49ers. Good morning, Adam. How are you? Oh, punch him through for me.
Yeah,
almost dead. Now I got you. Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good. I started the show this morning with, it was a huge win for Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers last night. And they were looking at me in the control room like, what are you talking about? But it really was. the Falcons, despite the analytics, these analytics fools, in my opinion, to get paid, I guess they have to justify their job, starting going for two down 28-20. But they overcame it. They kicked a field goal on the final play of the game. And now the Panthers are in first place by a half game in the NFC South. How big a story would that be if Carolina winds up winning this division this year?
I mean, listen, it's a lot of consternation in Charlotte. I've covered a bunch of their games this season. And, you know, going back to the beginning of the year when – you know, there's not a lot of expectation and you know, people are wondering, was Bryce Young the right move to make? Is Dave Canales the right person to be in charge of the franchise right now? You know, they spent all this money on the offensive line, and they're dealing with a bunch of injuries, and they've used all their draft capital on wide receivers. And, you know, Leggett wasn't particularly great in the early part of the year, and he hasn't been as productive. But, you know, McMillan hadn't had a touchdown for a month plus. I think there were a lot of questions about this group. Chuba Hubbard gets hurt. So, you know, for them to bounce back, and this is why it's a long season. You know, I think we have a tendency, because there's so few opportunities, it's, you know, only 17 games relative to, you know, the tenth of the season that baseball that baseball is. It's, you know, a fifth of the year that NBA and hockey is. You just don't get as many chances to see. So you put so much weight on each game. It's still a long year. And you say the same thing about the Buccaneers too. Mm-hmm. You know, like we know that they've been the dominant team in the South for the last, you know, 3-4 years between Brady and Mayfield. You know, they've been the dominant team for the most part in that division. So we have an expectation of what we're going to see. The Falcons have been a major disappointment. So I think last night was a big shock. But is it really, at the end of the day, when it's a lot of teams that are kind of close together, everybody's trying to find their footing? You know, the Panthers have played better as the year's gone on. I've called a bunch of their upset wins. They've had a few of them this year. You know, they've played really well. So to find them in first place with a month left of the year isn't a complete shocker, I think, by any means. I think it's pretty impressive. And, you know, the Bucs have a lot of questions to answer as well, because they've been kind of tailing off these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. Now the key for the Panthers is to get a win on Sunday in New Orleans. And the Saints have kind of been a nemesis for Bryce Young, including beating Carolina in Charlotte earlier this season. But this is one that if Carolina's going to win this division, and they can get a firm grip on it, that'd be a full game up. They got to find a way to win in the Superdome on Sunday.
These are the games you have to win. And again, it's the same way that we feel, you know, about the Bucks, you know, mm-hmm. playing New Orleans and losing.
That's,
you
right.
know, and the same deal. It's you know, I know these are divisional games, and there's a lot of weight to them. There's a reason that there's a lot of weight to them. But you know, these are the divisional games that everybody says, well, you have to win these games. Well, they're hard to win. You know, teams know your tendencies. The preparation's a little bit different as you get deeper into the week. I mean, you know, it's a short week for a divisional game for Tampa Bay and Atlanta this past week. That's not an easy ask for any coaching staff around the league. So if you want to be a 10-win team, these are the games you have to win. You know, a team that you're significantly better than or have played significantly better than over the course of the season, like, these are the games that you have to win. And it's not as if you can't win the division if you lose this game. It's if you don't win the division, at the end of the year, you're going to look back at games that you feel like you could have had, and this would be one of those games. You know, like, that's kind of how we, I think, view things in the NFL, because we I am a firm believer of the any given Sunday mentality. Anybody, any team can beat any other team on any given Sunday. And I don't know how many, you know, upsets I've called this year, but it's at least 4 or 5. You know, like, I've had a bunch this season where it's just like, this team has no business coming in. They're on the road. They're a touchdown underdog. They're a 2-touchdown underdog, and they come out on top in a game that maybe helps them, you know, push their status a little bit further. I saw it with Jacksonville this year. I saw it with the Panthers this year. There have been a handful of games like that. So, you know, I think you have to subscribe to that, and it's hard to finish these games up. But when mm-hmm. you look back at the end of the year, you're going to say, man, we could have done X, Y, and Z had we just played a little bit better against opponent A, B, or C.
Yeah, this is such an interesting year in the National Football League. We touched on it a little bit last week with some teams that are struggling, that are perennial powers, and we got some teams at the top of these divisions that are surprising. But the stat of the day, and listen, you win this division, you're going to the playoffs, either one of these divisions. But I don't know if I've ever seen this, Adam, and you're kind of a stats guy. We got two divisions, the AFC North and the NFC South, where all 8 teams have a negative point differential. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen that.
I don't think I've seen that either, but again, speaks to the nature of the games, right? That's how close these games have been for the most part. That's how kind of tight the preparation for each of these games, especially within the division, is. I mean, you know, the AFC North, it might end up looking like what we saw in the South a couple times, where it's an 8-win team
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, going to host a home playoff game because they won their division.
That's
and
right.
I know there are fans and probably some teams that win double-digit games that go, well, why don't we work this hard? Why don't you know, we played a tougher schedule, quote unquote, because we had to play twice within our own division. How can we get punished for not winning our division because we play in a really good one? And it's like, I appreciate that, but like, that's the point of the divisional schedule. Like, you could always, every league can just say, forget it, we're going to do away with divisions, we're going to try to balance the schedule, and whoever wins the most games is the one seed, and whoever wins the second most, et cetera, et cetera. And there is a, you know, that you do get rewarded for being the number one team in the league. You do get the bye. You do get rewarded by winning your division, by getting to host a playoff game. Like, I still think these things matter. And that's why the weight of these divisional games is still so huge. And that's why, you know, like, these games with the AFC North down the stretch are key. You know, Pittsburgh-Cleveland doesn't seem like a sexy matchup based on how those teams have been this year. But you know what? There's a lot of weight on that game, and that's kind of how some of the divisions have played out. You know, it's been a little bit more heavy at the top in some divisions, you know, the NFC North. And then you look at the AFC North, a team that, by the way, sent three teams to the playoffs just a couple of years ago. That's what they look like right now because of how kind of twisted and turning the divisions have been.
All right. We talked last week about some of the teams that are, you know, doing really well, Patriots, the Bears, and of course now the Panthers, kind of surprising teams at the top of their divisions. I want to ask you about some of these teams that are struggling and how much concern level you have. You know, we know in Philadelphia the fans they're tough when you're winning and they're brutal when you're losing. And what's happened to the Eagles here in the last three games, and including this game at Los Angeles against the Chargers, where they turned it over five times and they've still got the ball with a chance to win it overtime. But what's your concern level right now for the Eagles?
It's starting to get up there a little bit, you know, and I do think it's hard to maintain a certain level of excellence. I mean, how good have they been for the better part of 4 years now, you know, and it can be a myriad of things. It can be a couple of losses of certain personnel. It can be a couple of injuries that don't go your way. It can be some stagnancy. It can be, you know, a little bit of what makes you unique and special is starting to get figured out a little bit. You know, I do still have some concern. I would also tell you that if that's a team you don't want to play in the playoffs, right, either, because they're a tough out. You know, like, to get matched up with a Philadelphia in the postseason means preparing for a lot of different things. It's very taxing on a coaching staff and on players to try to prepare for Philadelphia when you don't know you're going to play them. Because, listen, when you play, if you're playing them in the regular season, you're doing your scouting a couple of weeks out. You're dedicating portions of your coaching staff to, hey, you're doing the you know, 1 week ahead scout, and we're going to start coming up with stuff because we have to play Philadelphia. You do that on a short week, or you do that on just 1 week's notice. It's a different thing. It's almost like what it was like to play Georgia Tech when Paul Johnson was the coach, or to go play Navy when they were coming in running the triple option or something. It's just a different amount of stuff that you have to prepare for, and it can be a little more taxing on your coaching staff and on your players. But everything else is still a bit of a concern. Jalen's been a little up and down this year. You know, I've seen some of his better games. I've seen him throw for 300. I've also seen him struggle with just identifying, you know, progressions. And the stuff that he typically does really well post-snap, he hasn't been doing as well this year. Barkley hasn't been running the way that we're used to seeing. They've given up, like, some chunks of points. I still have, you know, a lot of faith in that defense. I think that defense is still really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've lost a couple of pieces over the last couple of years, especially at corner, between, you know, Slay and Bradbury and some of the guys that had filled in really nicely. They're leaning on younger players who are going through a second year, you know, the stretch where things get a little bit tougher. It's a little bit more taxing. And again, if you're a rookie last year on the Eagles, you played an entire season. Yeah, you played the whole playoff run. Like, you do feel the effects of that as the year goes on, of playing this much football. So I think a lot of things are elements to why we've seen a really up and down year. At the end of the day, they have a Vegas team they should beat, a Washington team twice that they should beat. Tough game against Buffalo, sure, but this is still looking more and more like a double-digit win team to me than it is, you know, a team that's going to finish with 9 wins and hope to make it as a wild card.
The Ravens are under 500 after fighting back to get over 500. I watched the Steelers game. They had chances to win that football game. I thought probably should have won it. it does remind me a lot of the Eagles. I mean, they're doing some good things. Lamar and Jalen both, I don't know if it's, you know, where they're at this point in their careers. They just don't seem like they're as willing to run the football. They're not using their legs as much. Both are having, you know, very untimely interceptions. And the Ravens had some penalties, a couple of which you could argue maybe they got the short end of the stick. But they had the Steelers at home, and they lost that football game. So, you know, now they're a game back, and they've got to play Pittsburgh again, but it'll be in Pittsburgh. How costly was that loss for Baltimore on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I saw a number where it's like, you know, if they lose on Sunday this coming week against Cincinnati, their playoff chances go down to like 15% or something like that. It's like a big, it's a pretty precipitous drop. And yeah, you're right. You know, Lamar has been trying pretty hard to get back and has been pretty consistent at practice. And, you know, so he looks, in my head, I'm thinking, all right, he's fairly healthy, but you know, those weeks that he misses practice time typically are weeks where he struggles over the course of a Sunday. You know, he makes some of those mistakes, just the reps. I think he's always been a reps guy that needs to see it a lot when he's in there, when he's feeling good, when he's feeling in a rhythm. He's pretty strong, you know, and it's been kind of a herky-jerky year with his health. So I think that has something to do with it. Like you said, I kind of lean into that. I always think that these seasons that these guys are playing, especially, you know, a player like Lamar or Jalen, when their teams are typically making a run in the playoffs, either, you know, winning a game or two or making it to the conference title game, or in Jalen's case, making and winning a Super Bowl a couple times. I feel like that does have a little bit of a cumulative effect, and maybe we're starting to see a little bit of that with Lamar. It's weird of, you know, for me to think about Lamar as anything but a young quarterback, and I know he's still, you know, relative to some of the guys that we see, still a pretty young quarterback, you know, and I think, you know, he's not even 29 yet. So I know he's such a young guy, but I just feel like the mileage that he's gotten on some of the tires, you know, with how much of the hits he's taken, the health being up and down, the amount of runs, you know, the physical nature of kind of how he played, especially early on. I think maybe a lot of those things are starting to take some of an effect.
You know, and you do this for a living, you call these games, but, you know, I watch a ton of NFL on Sunday, you know, flipping back and forth and red zone, and it just, you see these teams that you expect to be really good, and then you watch them start slipping, and it's almost like whether it's, you know, the Chiefs or the two teams that we've talked about or some of these other teams that have traditionally been good, and you watch your games, and it's like, they're mirror images of each other. Plays that they used to make, they don't make. You know, they get in the red zone and they turn it over. Or you just expect these good teams or teams that we think to be good to make the plays, and then they start not making them, and you start seeing the fall. And look what's happened with the Chiefs. I mean, I'm befuddled. I still think there's enough there with Mahomes at quarterback, but they're 6-7. Adam, I'll ask you, are they done? We know they're not going to win the division for the first time in 9 years. Are they done as far as the playoffs are concerned?
I mean, they feel like they're kind of getting out of it, and I feel like, are we talking like what you think for the future too, Gary?
Yeah, I'm talking beyond this year too, that their run is over, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the run is over. I think it's a really, you know, interesting blip. I feel like there are still opportunities for them in that division. You know, the Chargers have been, you know, with Justin Herbert's health, which has been a little bit of a concern at times, just with, you know, the amount of hits he's taken, you know, how he scrambles, things like that. There's still an opportunity for, I think, Kansas City to bounce back. Now, Denver is, you know, in my estimation, the best team. They've got a defense just like they did 10 years ago that can, you know, that will travel in playoffs. Bo's playing really, really well. He's playing at a very high level. I think their ground game has been really good on offense all year. So that's probably your best team in the division. But there's enough. I agree with you. You got Mahomes at quarterback. You got some pretty strong skill players still. But they look more like a normal good team. Remember, they've looked like world beaters for the last several years. They've picked up all the big, you know, or a bunch of big free agent signings. And, you know, Chris Jones has had help a lot in years past. And you know, there's only so many schemes and plays that you can run if you're a defensive coordinator that start, you know, there's only so many ways to disguise things without overloading, you know, every individual on your defense with too much information when they're trying to process something in the middle of a game. They're going to have to hit on some drafts, on some draft picks. They're going to have to bring in some free agents that want to make one last run because the quarterback is still really, really good. And, you know, there's still, you know, Rashee Rice is still one of the elite skill players in this league. Chris Jones, one of the elite defensive linemen in this league. There are some stars on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think any team with multiple stars is done in terms of a run. I just think, like, they look more like a normal good team now. They don't they can't do all of the same things that they've been doing because they just it's hard to have that sustained for a long, long period of time in this sport. You know, that's why what the Patriots did this century is so impressive. Honestly, it's almost impossible in this sport with its cyclical nature, with how the draft is constructed, with how scheduling is done. The following year based off last year's standings, like it's impossible for the most part to have that level of sustained success.
A few more minutes with Adam Amin. I thought we might get to NBA and MLB a little bit, but we're still in the NFL. I want to ask you about the NFC North. That's a division that you know well. And I thought the Bears, even though they lost that game in Green Bay, showed they were legit, man. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Packers and made them work. But because that's such a strong division and because the NFC's, you know, got some really good teams, I think they went from the 1 seed to the 7 seed with that loss. But for the Bears, even though they didn't win, I watched a lot of that game, and I said, man, like you and I talked last week, this is, they're not doing this with mirrors. I mean, they're a good football team.
They're a good football team, and I still think they need to win their next 2 games. I think they're going to have to beat Green Bay at home, and they got to beat Cleveland this week because, you know, I agree that that game, that the showing, to me shows that they're feeling like they've taken huge steps. I still think anything they do this year is probably a little ahead of schedule, which is good. That's where you want to be. You know, it's not a bad thing, but I feel like this is the trajectory you're supposed to be on. They've arrived at it a little early. That's fine. But now you have to, just like we talked about for, you know, other teams that have to win certain games, what the Panthers have on Sunday, like the Bears have the same thing. They're in the fight for the playoffs. They're out of the lead for the division. The Lions are still going to be knocking on the door. San Francisco, I've got the Niners this week. Like they're right there with the Bears. They're fighting for their division as well. So, like, it's a loaded NFC. The Cowboys are still not out of it yet. I think I'm seeing Dallas next week against the Chargers. And, you know, that's a huge game for both of those teams, you know, in the middle of a playoff chase. So there are some teams, that are still knocking on the doorstep in the NFC. They're not going anywhere, it feels like, especially with some of the schedules that we're going to see. The games that you have to win are coming up right in front of you. That's what's happening for the Bears. They have to beat Cleveland. They have to beat Green Bay at home. And at least put them into a decent position to, you know, make a push. They've got San Francisco, by the way, I think in week 17. So, man, there's some major impact games coming up the next few weeks.
There really are. It is. I mean, the NFL has created what they want, man. There's so many games that have so much on the line down the stretch, and that's what they want. I mentioned, and you do as well, that you've got the 49ers and the Titans. 49ers are right there. I mean, the Rams are 10-3. The Seahawks are 10-3. The Niners are 9-4. And again, these are the kind of games that you have to win when you're a good team. You can't let the Titans, which, you know, beat Cleveland last week, you can't let them come in there and upset you. This is a must-win for the 49ers.
Feels like it. Again, these are games that you just, if you want to make the playoffs or make it easy on yourself in the process of making them, like, you have to win these games. So I feel like, you know, San Francisco's coming off a bye. They're in a good place. You know, they've done an incredible job on defense without Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. These guys have really filled in. They've changed their scheme a little bit. You know, they're not bothering with bringing pressure. They're not bothering with bringing blitz. They're not worried about the sacks. They're worried about keeping everything in front of them and limiting explosives and making you make a mistake. And that's, you know, one of those things. You're playing Cam Ward this week, guy who's, you know, gotten, you know, had some good moments, I think, but has also been critical of himself, has been critical of his teammates in a sense, or of the style that they've played with in the fourth quarter with a lead. You know, he hasn't played great. He knows it too. And he's got a really high standard for himself. Remember, he's an older guy, you know, his guy's played a lot of college football and took his time before he made his way out to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He has had some criticisms and wants to play better. If he's a little interception prone, though, that plays right into the hands of what the Niners want to do, what they have been doing. And these are games that San Francisco should win. And they've got a really tough schedule down the stretch. So, you know, this is a key game coming up. They play Indy, which is an interesting story, obviously, this week. They play Chicago still. I think they play Seattle to close out the season. That could be a huge game, maybe for the division, maybe for a wild card spot. A lot to play for down the stretch.
All right, Adam, our final 30 seconds. I held this for last because I watched them in the playoffs. The St. Michael Catholic team out of Fairhope, Alabama, coached by Philip Rivers. And now he is not only back in the NFL, but it's trending toward him starting. He's 44 years old, hasn't played in 5 years. Now, he stayed in shape. I mean, I know he throws with those guys, and he's fit, and he knows this offense. Obviously, he's been running it in high school. But it looks like he's trending toward starting, not just against any team, but against a really nasty Seattle defense. I mean, unbelievable, really.
I talked to my partner at Drew Brees. I asked him, you know, it's like, how do you feel? Like, would you have gotten a call, do you think? And Drew was like, listen, man, like my shoulder's pretty messed up. Like I can toss the ball around a little bit with my kids before football practice, but Phillip's been out there. Like he's been coaching. He's probably been throwing every day, even if he's not throwing like his normal routine. He's probably been throwing every day. Probably like you said, been staying in shape. He runs that offense. You know, the cool story about how he runs the same offense that Steichen did, and they kept in touch about it, and now they're running it together. Like it's a great story. It's a cool story. It's an easy one to root for. Like I just think it's fun to watch, and I will be asking Drew about that more than likely on Sunday if we get some kind of studio update about that game.
Well, that's a great story. I'm pulling for him to do well, but we'll see how it goes. Hey, Adam, I'm out of time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, great segment with Adam Amin, as always. We didn't get to the Mets. I wanted to talk about the Mets and what they're doing with all that money. But, all right, we're going to go ahead and close out this first hour since I went over, as always, to do with Adam Amin. And we'll come back on the other side. We'll be into our second hour. We're going to take you out of here with our Friday getaway song, The Cure's Friday I'm in Love. Hour number one has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is coming up, and we're going to have a lot more fun on this Friday edition of The Gary Harris Show.
And she'll love it.
I'm Tom Osmond, your jeweler at Fincher & Osmond Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and...
Hey, so we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events, rehearsal dinners, receptions, and birthdays. They offer brunch and lunch catering. Call Brick and Spoon at 205-345-5551 for more information.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Atlanta Falcons, who were 4-9, got a comeback victory at Tampa Bay Thursday night, 29-28, on a field goal on the final play, a win despite 19 penalties by the Falcons in the game. Kyle Pitts finished with 3 touchdown receptions. He had 11 catches, 166 yards. Atlanta had trailed 28-14 with 10 minutes left. The AP's College Player of the Year is quarterback Fernando Mendoza of number 1 Indiana. The NBA's late game went to Denver Denver and a laugher at Sacramento. 136-105, 36 points for Nikola Jokic. New Orleans ended a seven-game losing streak, ripping Portland 143-120. Milwaukee beat Boston 116-101, 31 points for Kyle Kuzma.
It's clinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. This TGIF edition. And we're rocking and rolling, getting ready for the weekend. And busy first hour. Several people have reached out to me about the interview that we had with Blake Patterson and how to get the app. It's very simple. When you go to your app store, it's WonderFan, but it's spelled with a U. It's WUNDERFAN, WonderFan. And you can get literally get paid for watching games that you're going to watch anyway. So, and of course, obviously, Adam Amin, always so interesting. I actually wanted to ask him a little bit about the NBA and MLB, but we couldn't get through the NFL. But Reed follows pro sports pretty closely. And by the way, if you want to call in, 205-342-9904, we're always taking phone calls. We don't have another guest until 10:30, so we didn't have a lot of time for calls. We had to put a couple of you off, but if you want to call back, you're more than welcome to right now. We're open. But Reed, let's. I want to ask you about the NBA because the Thunder, who are the reigning champions and are young and are talented and are now proven winners, this is a historic start that they're off to. And they play, is it San Antonio, right, for this mid-season, in-season championship? Yeah, pretty sure it is. I mean, look it up real quick. But the Spurs beat the Lakers, and I think that was the – so. But the in-season championship – out in Las Vegas will be for extra money and bonus money. But when you look at this, is that who it is? Yeah. Or when you look at what they're doing right now, you start thinking about 70-plus wins. I think this matches the start the Warriors had back in 2016. The Warriors did not win the NBA championship that year. But Oklahoma City is 24-1. And this is what's really amazing. Their point differential, they're not just winning games. How about this? They're winning games by an average of 17.4 points per game. Now, to give you an idea, if you can win games by double, in other words, if your average wins are by 10 points, that's considered unbelievable. The only other team in the league that is winning by double digits average is Houston. The Rockets are at winning their games by an average margin of 10.2. Everybody else is single digits, or of course, you know, some of them have a negative point differential. But to be winning your games by an average margin of 17.4, they're averaging 123.6 points per game and giving up 106.2 points per game. I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal. Now, I'll give you another stat. Because, you know, I'm big, if you haven't noticed, I'm big into point differential. Because I think over the course of a season, regardless of the sport, it shows you just how strong a team is. But there's something to be said for winning close games. The Lakers are 17-7, which is an excellent record. Reed, their point differential is plus 1.5. So they are winning a lot of close games. They're averaging 118.3 points per game, but giving up 116.8. They don't guard. Now, the Lakers, I watched some of that game against San Antonio. They don't guard you, man. They don't play defense. They score points, but if they're going to be a serious contender in the West, they're going to have to start guarding people. So, anyway, I'm blown away by this Oklahoma City Thunder team and thinking to myself, yeah, they're 25 games in. They're 24-1. This is a team. You know, 70 wins is kind of the magic number. I think the Bulls went 73-9 that year. There was a Lakers team with Wilt and them too that might have won 73 games. I'm going to look it up real quick. But you hear me tapping on my keyboard here, but I'm looking it up. But, you know, 70 wins is a magic number in the NBA. You just don't, you don't get to that too much. And, yeah, you had Golden State went 73-9. The Bulls went 72-10. The Lakers, that Lakers team that I was talking about, went 69-13. So, amazing. But anyway, let's get to a phone call. It looks like Larry the Music Man is checking in with us here on the Gary Harris Show hotline. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Gary, always love Free For All Friday. And you put my man on there, Jimmy Hall. But did you hear some of the interview this morning on Wimp and Barry show with Mike Griffith?
I did not. I did not hear any of it. I didn't even know they had Mike on. How did it go?
Well, in my take on it, he deserves, if he was in the music business, he'd probably win a Grammy. He was either blowing smoke up the elephant's rear end, or he really loves Kalen DeBoer and thinks this team could probably compete for the national championship. You know him better than I do. I thought it was interesting what he had to say. It was all positive. He was very positive about Kalen DeBoer and all this.
Well, it's hard to read Mike sometimes, and I'll have to go back and listen to the interview. He might be blowing a little smoke because I've heard him before when Alabama had really good championship caliber teams. Not that this one can't win a championship. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about some of Nick Saban's teams, and he would be finding flaws, and he would be saying, yeah, I don't think they're, you know, what you think they are. And now all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe he really believes that. But,
well, I wanted your take on it because
I didn't hear the interview, so it's hard for me to give you a take other than all I will say is that I believe that Mike Griffith sometimes has ulterior motives when he's doing interviews.
It was almost like Muhammad Ali humoring Joe Frazier. You know what I mean? Or like, yeah. But I thought it was a good interview. It was a long interview, but I thought he hit crucial points. But I just wanted your take on it. I didn't know if you'd heard it, but
Well, I'll go listen to it. I just, you know, find it weird that Georgia handled Alabama the other night in the SEC championship game, and now all of a sudden he's praising Alabama. That seems a little peculiar to me. Yeah, you know, is he trying to prop Georgia up?
But I wanted your take.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that interview. But I've listened to Mike a lot of times. I've interviewed him before. I'd have to listen to it. That's all I can say, Larry.
Let me pitch some music real quick. While I was at Graceland last year, I never told you this, and you may have known it or knew about it. Did you know David Bowie pitched Golden Years to Colonel Tom Parker?
I had no idea.
He wrote it for – I had heard that. We were in the bar, and there were some people that knew members of the band and this and that, and Jerry Shelf would often come in that bar we were in at the guest house. It blew my mind, but can you picture Elvis doing Golden Years?
It would have been a different version. That's for sure. but I'm going to say something about David Bowie, because if you probably picked up on this too. He's one of my favorite artists. He's also a genius. I have no doubt in my mind that David Bowie was a genius. And if there's an interview, and I'd have to find it, that he did like 20 years ago, 20 maybe even right around the turn of the century, where he predicted everything that's happening with social media, AI. I'm gonna find that interview and play it sometime on my show. It's unbelievable.
You need to, because I've always admired his intelligence, his other take, the intelligent part of it, like you just said, not as an artist too, but the whole outlook. And he was daring to do what he did during that time in the early days. Ziggy, when he did that part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people thought he was a freak. I mean,
I know.
I mean, the transgender movement and the look that he was putting out there wasn't, you know, quite as normal as it is now. But he
crowd control to Major Tom.
Oh yeah, he's just just a genius. And like I said, the interview that he did where he was talking about predicting the future is, it'll give you chills when you hear him. Like I said, this was right around the turn of the century, probably 25 years ago, maybe 20. But he was predicting all this stuff that we're seeing
now.
I
need to look that up. You need to do that, Gary. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Right. Well, look, it's always awesome on Friday, and I hope everybody has a great weekend and take a little break. We'll get ready for next weekend.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Good to hear from you.
All right, brother.
All right, 10:13 here on the Gary Harris Show, and I need to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. I talk to you about them every day, and with good reason, because I want you to benefit as a man from what they have to offer. Because if you're not feeling your best, and I'm not talking about just, you know, in terms of you know, stuff that you want to have going on with your workouts and activities, but I'm also just talking about in terms of just getting through the day, you know, just having the juice to get through the day. Because let me tell you something, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. It's a beautiful facility. I've been there. I've been through the process. 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. They offer convenient expert back care for all men looking to feel and perform their best, specializing in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. You'll get the results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health and begin your customized treatment plan. You're going to have boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. That's Game Day Men's Health. Get in the game. Get by and see them at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, and tell them you heard about it on the Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back after this. Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Partner of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials.
Go-karts, kids four-wheelers, dirt bikes, and side-by-sides for Christmas. With financing available, Redline Power Sports, Highway 43 at Tierce Patton Road in Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, mostly sunny, the high 61. Tonight, fair with the low at 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. Much colder Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Because weekends were
music, sleep DJ. Look out, weekend. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, 10:18. And I'm trying to find the latest info on Sharone Moore, because this is the story that has just fill the headlines with college football, the former Michigan head coach. And I don't know much about the criminal process, thankfully. I've never had to go through it. But I do know enough to know that when you're being held in jail, and for somebody else out there that if Paul or North Patterson happen to be listening, or any of our lawyer friends or somebody that knows, at some point they have to charge you with something, is my understanding. I mean, again, if you're out there and you know, help me out here, 205-342-9004. I just pulled up the latest from USA Today, and they're saying that he remains jailed as of late last night in an Ann Arbor area jail pending formal criminal charges associated with an assault investigation conducted by the Pittsfield Township Police Department. Now, criminal charges have still not been filed. So he was arrested and booked into the Washtenaw County Jail and remained there as of 11 p.m. last night. That's according to jail records. So he's being held, but he has not been charged. He's not been arraigned. And so this is odd. All of this, of course, is just a crazy story. But if you want to, like I said, I got that information from USA Today. I know the New York Post, which doesn't really hold back. They're pretty forward in their reporting. And I haven't read it, but somebody sent it to me this morning. Has an article out kind of going over everything that he, you know, allegedly did. We had a caller yesterday called in saying, you know, all this stuff about knives and threats and all that. And I'm like, well, until he's charged with something. And here's the New York Post story that someone sent me. So let's see. Obviously he threw away his career after an alleged affair with his assistant came to light. And let's see what it says here in the New York Post about some of the allegations. Reported to be suicidal and had a knife after he went to Shiver's apartment. That is the lady, the employee, former Michigan employee that he was alleged to have had an affair with. And she may still be an employee. I shouldn't have said former employee. I don't know what her status is. I mean, I don't know that she may still be there. But it goes into some of the stuff that's pretty violent and pretty graphic in terms of he threatened to harm himself, harm someone else, and I don't know. Again, I guess they're still trying to piece it together. The authorities are, and maybe they're getting him some mental counseling. But at some point, my understanding is if you're being held in jail, they just can't keep holding you, you know, unless you're charged with something. So at least that's my understanding. If anybody knows more, let me know. In fact, we got a call now from Scott. Maybe he can enlighten us here a little bit. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Gary, I'm good.
You going to help me out with this? I'm trying to figure out how can you just keep someone in jail and not charge them with anything?
Well, so I was listening to Daily Wire, Jay Crane's show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David Cone is on the show, and he's a Michigan
former Michigan quarterback.
So he said that Sharon is being held in a mental health facility.
Okay, that would make more sense.
Yeah. And so they're trying to decide if they're going to charge him or if they're just going to treat it as a mental health issue.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's probably what they're trying to do. Reed, you got something more?
Yeah, one of the callers also called in and said that he is going to be arraigned today in front of a judge.
Oh, he is. Oh, so there's an arraignment coming up today.
It said this report from WSFA 12 that sometime today on Friday that he will be arraigned in some.
Okay. All right. Well, Scott, they're going to arraign him today, so I guess we'll find out everything that's going on. That's kind of what I was wondering about, when there was going to be an arraignment going into the weekend. But I have no doubt, though, Scott, that David Cone is right. I bet he's been getting mental evaluations because clearly there's something, you know, clearly he went off the deep end, right? I mean, I think we can agree on that.
Yes, sir.
This is crazy.
All right,
just crazy.
Gary.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Appreciate your insight, man. Thank you. All right, we need to get to a break. Are we on time on the breaks? I've lost track. Yeah, let's go. Let's get to a break. And am I on time? Okay. All right. We'll take a time out. And before we do, let me remind you, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you and you're ready for the Y. It's just that simple. If you're ready to get fit, don't wait until the new year. Go ahead and get in there and get a head start. Get to working out. Get to sweating. I got to get back in there. And I'm talking to myself as well. Beautiful facility. Great workout equipment. Great personal training, everything you need is at the Y, 2300 13th Street downtown. All right, we'll be back after this.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at HIMS.com/radio. That's HIMS.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 1028, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And it's time for the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz. We didn't visit with Brett last week. He was busy calling the Alabama High School Athletic Association state championship games over in Birmingham. We'll get into a little bit of that with him as well. But good morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. This is the Auburn Report. Of course, we do big picture stuff too with college sports, and I want to start off by just and you're, I know you're aware of this, but when you rattle them off, it's just mind blowing that this year, this is the jobs that opened up in this cycle, and now you can add Michigan, of course. So Michigan, Florida, LSU, Penn State, Ole Miss, Auburn, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Arkansas, Kansas State, Cal, UCLA, Iowa State, Kentucky, and Michigan State. I mean, that more than anything, I think, epitomizes where we're at right now in college football.
It does. And, you know, we talked about it on our podcast this morning a little bit about, you know, teams that are struggling. Auburn obviously has been one of those teams the last 4 or 5 years to put a winning product on the field. You know, they've done well recruiting. They've done the other things. They just haven't been able to get over the hump for whatever reason. And, you know, with one portal window now, Gary, everything's sandwiched into a very small amount of time. Now, I've said it multiple times. I'm all for one portal window. I think taking the spring one away was great. That way you don't have to worry about re-recruiting, and you can move forward, and people are locked in, and I like that. But for teams that are behind the eight ball, it puts a lot more pressure on them because they're losing players and they're having to go out and fill gaps, and not only fill gaps, but get elite players that they feel like can make their team compete. So there's much more pressure on coaches today. And I said it to you multiple times. I don't feel sorry for these coaches that make $7, $8, $10 million plus a year, but they earn their money more now than they've ever earned it, you know, in this career. And it's because of the portal and the NIL stuff. And if you don't get it right quickly, you'll be out, and the school will be looking for another person. So, yeah, it's wild. You know, you and I have discussed this so much over the last couple of years. And, you know, this is not what anybody I've ever talked to likes. Nobody – I've not found one person that's a diehard college football fan that says, oh, man, I love the way things are going right now. I haven't found anybody. But it's the world we live in, and it's what we're having to deal with. And if you don't adapt, then you're going to be out. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. And it's creating a vicious cycle. I mean, it's, you know, these jobs open up. We're looking for great coaches to fill them. And like you and I've talked about, I mean, of all these openings, in 3 years from now, there's going to be some of these schools that are looking for another head coach. Because you're right, the pressure to win. the money that's being paid into these programs, these, I guess we could call them investors now instead of donors or boosters, they're going to want a return on their investment, man. So it's a vicious cycle. I don't know. Here's the way I look at it, Brett, is it's, we all know, like you said, that this is happening, that, you know, like I've said before, it's like the water's calm on top, but underneath there's a storm brewing. But nobody wants to rock the boat right now because players are making money. Assistant coaches are making more money than they ever dreamed, not even getting into the head coaching salaries, which are astronomical, but staffers, you know, you've got support personnel. They're finally making money. You know, everybody's making money. So this is a money grab. And as long as it just continues to rock along, I don't know what it's going to take for it to hit home with people. But as long as it continues to happen, I don't see anything changing. Do you?
I don't know. You know, we were talking about Auburn having games scheduled out at 2031. I know the Troy game was announced yesterday, but I mean, I don't even know what – that's so far out now. as far as the way things change in college football month to month, I can't worry about or even get excited about anything 2031 because it's just so far away. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, just – I don't see anything being done right now to change the scope in the direction of the way things are done. And, you know, I don't think that's a good thing. I think, you know, it's more toothpaste out of the tube. And I don't know how you regulate. I think that's been the biggest problem with everybody involved. And yet to see anybody step up and come up with a solution that fits for everybody. I think we've discussed it. I think eventually you're going to have to go to contracts. I mean, this thing's almost, it's a pro sport. Let's just trying to get ourselves. You got to hold people accountable, and you got to sign. I mean, this is in essence free agency anyway, Gary. When you go in the portal, and at least there's more guidelines in the NFL, and I think you sign people to 2-3 year contracts, and then it's more performance based, and you get a chance to say, okay, end of 2 years, end of 3 years, hey, look, if you're doing well, we're gonna pay you more, and if not, then you're free to go somewhere else if you want to. So. I think there's a lot to be said about moving on a fast track more toward contracts.
All right, let's get to Auburn. Alex Golish on the job, putting his staff together. What are your feelings on the hire and the start that he's off to there at Auburn?
I'm sorry, Gary. I missed you on that.
I just said Alex Golish is off and running. He's putting his staff together. Just wanted to get your reaction to the hire and your first impressions of Alex Golish.
Well, I think, been to a couple press conferences now. I had a chance to talk to him on Monday, just briefly. I mean, drinking out of the fire hose, like obviously to be expected coming in and, you know, trying to put a staff together and putting this roster, you know, talking to every player on this roster and roster retention being important. And then knowing what your needs are going to be, because again, you only have one shot at this thing. There is no spring portal. So you better fill everything you need in this portal or you're going to be in trouble. So yeah, I don't know when the guy sleeps, but I do like his demeanor. I do like his, what he says. And he's not a politician. He's not up there trying to smooth anybody asking for patience, Gary. He's pretty much saying, look, I understand the assignment here. I appreciate this opportunity. And he said, basically, every time he's gone into a situation, he's gone into a rebuild in a situation where a program hasn't been performing up to par. So he's very experienced in that. And so I think he understands what he's got to do. He doesn't like to waste a lot of time talking about the stuff that he needs to do. He wants to go out there and do it. So now let's just go see him do it. I think that's just where we are.
Yeah, I like what you said about the work ethic. And again, this is not – listen, Hugh Freeze is a good coach. It didn't work out for him at Auburn, so I'm not here to bash Hugh Freeze, but we know, you know, he had some health issues, and we know, you know, the golf thing kind of got probably blown out of proportion, but I don't know that Hugh Freeze was a grinder, and that's not, and I don't say that disrespectfully. There's different ways to skin a cat, and you and I know that, but Alex Golish does seem to be more of that traditional, I'm going to get in early, I'm going to work late, you know, I'm certainly going to have, you know, my family is important to me, but this job is going to consume me. That's kind of the vibe I get from him.
I think a lot of people thought when Hugh Freeze was hired at Auburn, Gary, that's what they were going to get. I think they thought, well, here's a guy that is getting another shot to come back to the SEC where he's been successful, and then he's going to outwork everybody. He's got a lot to prove. And I'm not saying he didn't do some good things. He did build the roster back. There's no question about it. But the grinding part, the off the field stuff with the golf and everything, whether he was putting the time in or not, it didn't appear that he was doing right. That. And I think you've got a guy in Hugh Freeze that's in a different phase of his life, and it showed, than Alex Golish that's out here going, hey, man, I'm about to show everybody what I can do at the next level with top-tier facilities, top-tier NIL, you know, top-tier roster. No, let's go out here and prove. And I think he has got that ingrained in him. He's a young guy. I mean, he's an up-and-comer, as you want to label them. And so I think it's a different motivation. And I think maybe Hugh Freeze got to Auburn, and that fire just wasn't what it was when he was in the SEC at Ole Miss. And I think a lot of people were disappointed in that. They thought that that's the Hugh Freeze that Auburn was going to get. And he was good in some areas, but he was really poor with on-the-field performance. And that's really ultimately all that matters.
Brett Pritchard with us from the Auburn Blitz. You and I, again, discussed the way you view college football now is so different. I mean, you look at what Kurt Cignetti did in Indiana, which I think is an unbelievable turnaround. You know, we see Texas Tech. Of course, they've done it with NIL and the portal. But where I'm going with this is, you know, we think of teams that just fired their coach and are coming off five straight losing seasons. We would have in the past said, well, this is a rebuild. You know, this is going to take – not anymore. I mean, like you said, Auburn's got a – on paper, has a good roster. They've got the portal. I mean, the expectations, Brett, I'm assuming for Auburn people is that, you know, this needs to happen quick, like this year. I mean, we need to have a winning program in place and don't need another losing season. And this isn't, I mean, like we're talking about with these coaches, this kind of money, but there are expectations that come with this right away now. I mean, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of what this whole conversation's been about, Gary, is that there is no 2 to 3 to 4 year build anymore. You just aren't going to get that. And especially in a place like Auburn now where you hadn't had a winning season in 5 years. And it really hasn't been an excuse for that, Gary. I mean, it's really inexcusable to look at this year's schedule and look at what Auburn had as a roster and what they didn't do with the players they had to have the record they have. I mean, it really is massively disappointing. I'm not saying Auburn should have been in the playoffs, but I'm saying Auburn should have
won some of those games. There's no doubt.
At minimum, should have been a 7-win team. And I think that was the floor. I mean, I if you want to go back and rewind what I said to you back before the season started, I feel like Auburn would settle around 8-4, 9-3 mm-hmm. because in year three of a program where you built a roster that's competitive, and he made it very clear that he felt like Auburn's roster could compete with everybody. And it showed on the field. Auburn hadn't been blown out in 2 years. You know, Auburn has been right there with, look at four playoff teams, you know, and see Georgia, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Alabama. I mean, Auburn either had the lead or had a chance to win the game at the end. You know, but it's not being able to figure out a way to get the job done or making too many mistakes or whatever the case. It was always Auburn finding a way to lose a game, not to come up with a way to win it. And that was just a broken culture. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing Alex Golish has to change is the mindset of going, look, we're not going to wait around in a game when we have a lead for something bad or catastrophic to happen. We're going to keep the pedal to the metal, and we're going to keep pressing, and we're going to go finish the game. And that's what this team and this program has lacked, Gary, for 3 or 4 years now. They have lacked a killer instinct and the ability to put teams away when they have them on the ropes.
Brett, what's the roster turnover going to look like? I mean, he's bringing in, of course, you had a signing class last week. He's bringing in some players that he's familiar with. There's already been some players going into the portal. We know Auburn will use the portal. Do you have a feel yet for how much roster rollover there's going to be?
Well, I just think, you know, I think priority, and now it's goal is meeting with everybody has been the a number one thing for him, and gauging which players are priority and which ones want to be at Auburn, and then knowing what he's got to go do in the portal. And I don't think, I mean, Auburn's got eight or nine guys that pretty much, I mean, the portal's not open right now, so nobody's in the portal.
Yeah, but technically, but yeah.
People can come up and say, hey, I'm doing, and Auburn's got eight or nine right there that have pretty much let it be known through whatever channels that they will enter the portal in January. I think it's going to be way more than that, and I think that's what you expect now from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the deal is, who is it getting in the portal? Is it several guys that were down the depth chart that weren't going to play, haven't contributed, or is it your top percentage guys that you know you can't lose or would be almost irreplaceable if you did? I mean, that's where it all settles. You get caught up in the numbers, there's going to be a lot of turnover for everybody because that's just the way of the world, and there's only one portal window now. So you got one shot at this thing if you're a player. And if you want to get in it, you got to get in. If not, you're there through at least another year with that particular program. So I think you're looking at, it's going to be, for some programs, worse than others. And I think it'll appear that the sky is falling and that Armageddon's coming. But you got to look at it from a standpoint of who is prepared going into that portal with their needs and knowing kind of what they've got to do to go out and fill some of these gaps. And I think that's what Alex Golish and his staff is doing right now, is they're putting all those numbers on paper, and they expect X number to get in the portal, but they also expect to get X out of the portal. So I think it's all about how you manage it and how you're organized.
Staff-wise, is he pretty much done with the staff, or is that still being put together?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody but a tight ends coach now.
Right.
Auburn announced a couple more guys. Larry Porter, running back coach, be making a return to Auburn. He was on Gus Malzahn's staff from 2017 to 2020. Very, very good recruiter. So, I mean, that was a great addition there. And I could go through all of them. I mean, they brought in DeMarcus Van Dyke day before yesterday. I mean, he's got a lot of great experience as well as cornerbacks coach. He brought in former Tennessee defensive coordinator Tim Banks. He's got a lot of previous experience mm-hmm. in places like Penn State and whatever, and Michigan and different places. You know, but he retained several guys off the staff. Obviously, DJ Durkin we talked about, but Vontrell Keene Williams, the defensive line coach, I thought was a key piece to be retained. The staff is coming along pretty well. And, you know, you got to go out as a coach and have the freedom and the autonomy to go get who you want and who you feel comfortable coaching with. And so he's had to sit down with existing staff members and had to go out and get guys from other places, all while trying to retain a roster and get ready to figure out how this portal thing's going to work. So he has been overwhelmed and extremely busy, but I think he's up to the task.
Give us a quick update on basketball.
You know, last game out against Arizona was not pretty. Auburn has gotten blown out against Michigan and Arizona, clearly two of the best teams in the country. And I know Alabama's got Arizona coming up in Birmingham, which will obviously help. And, of course, this basketball team, I definitely think there's some deficiencies, though, that have been glaring in some of these games against some of the more elite teams in the country. And right now, Auburn has proved that they can compete against, you know, top 20, top 25 teams, but maybe in the top five outside of the Houston game, the other two games they've had have been blowouts, and they haven't looked good. Now, they went into Arizona, and that's a tough place, and probably one of the toughest environments Auburn will play in all year. And Michigan is really just running roughshod over everybody they play right now. It's just crazy how good that team is and what they went out and did in the offseason and put that squad together. But, you know, you got another opportunity tomorrow against Chattanooga in Atlanta, the Holiday Hoops giving game. This is a 5-5 Chattanooga team, so Auburn should be able to go out and take care of business. But then, you know, you got Purdue coming up next Saturday in Indianapolis. That's going to be the next big test. Can Auburn go up there and compete? The last two times against the top five team, they haven't. So can they go up there and be competitive and not get blown off the floor? And some things have got to change. They've got to get more unselfish with the way they've been playing. Only 7 assists in the last game against Arizona. So it's a lot of selfish basketball. That's what Stephen Pearl talked about the other day in the post game. So that's got to get better. You got to distribute the basketball. You got to score, but you got to distribute. And you got to play better defense. And you got to shore those things up because we all know the SEC, every single time you go on the floor is a grind. So, but that's why you play a tough schedule. You go ahead and you get exposed in some of these things that you need to be exposed in, and you go try to fix them before you get into conference play.
And lastly, Brett, you got to work one of our great events in our state, the Super 7 State Championships last week, 7 games in 3 days. You didn't call all of them, but you called many of them, and you were there for them. What sticks out about that that event this year to you?
No, I did do the play-by-play for 5, 6, and 7A. They were all blowouts. I mean, really. And the only game that was close was the 2A game with Cusa Christian and Lynette. There were so many different storylines. Rush Probst winning another state title as an interim coach at Cusa Christian. Does he end up as a permanent coach again somewhere? I think he probably does. You know, Jake Janus got Moody their first state championship in school history, and then he resigns and heads to Pell City as the new head coach. And then you look at Clay Chalwell is the best team in the state, and I know people listening may go, well, what about Thompson? Well, Clay Chalwell's beaten them 3 years in a row.
That's right.
And, you know, it's hard to say that Thompson's better than them when on the field head-to-head the last 3 years Clay Chalwell's won it. So, just a tremendous program. Sarah Land, great program, but right now Clay Chalwell's the class of 6A, and I don't know that they're going anywhere. And then what Thompson did to Opelika was just crazy. They dominated that game from start to finish. So they were lopsided games. Obviously Jackson was another lopsided game. They destroyed a 14-0 Anniston team. But just loaded with talent. I know you guys in Alabama are excited about Xavier Crowell. Just a man amongst boys in every game he's played in. He looks the part. He's just everything that you want in a running back. That's what Xavier Crowell is. And, you know, Jackson's going to miss all those guys, Landon Duntworth and Kean Chapman and him off that team next year. It's going to be almost impossible to replace a trio like that. And so they probably take a step back. But yeah, the event was run really, really well in Birmingham. Only had one day of bad weather, and it was really that night game, the 5A game, where it poured. But outside of that, it was another well-run event by the HSA.
Great update as always, Brett. And I know you and the crew still going strong with the Auburn Blitz.
Oh, yeah. We will be at Prime Steakhouse here in just about an hour at noon. For the noon show. And again, we appreciate everybody that finds us and has subscribed to our channel. And Gary, as always, it's an honor to be on with you every week.
Thank you, Brett. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. All right, it's 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner. And why not check out Billy's? The sunshine has come out in downtown Northport, and it's warm enough to sit outside on that patio. Of course, they got 2 dining rooms inside, a full bar. Great food, great service. Beautiful day to hit Billy's for lunch right there on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport. And we're going to come back and wrap up the show. We're going to get to a phone call on the other side, and we'll be right back and get you ready for the Miller's Edge coming up next here. Stay with us.
Changes only at the family-owned number one volume Nissan dealer in Alabama. And here's the best part: you can get pre-approved in minutes with no impact to your credit. Visit townsendnissan.com today.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
where 100% quality and freshness at family prices is guaranteed. Call 205-345-5988. Happy holidays.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm up today, mostly sunny, the high 61. Tonight fair with a low at 41. Tomorrow increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. Much colder Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Down
to
the pylon, touchdown Alabama.
On Tide 100.9.
Come home, no.
All right, 10:54, winding it down for another week here on the Gary Harris Show, but we're not done yet. We're going to jump out on the hotline and welcome in Ragged Glory. What's up, Ragged?
Hey, good morning, Gary, and thank you, Reed, for taking this call and pushing it in. Shout out to Jukebox Chase Brumfield. We just watched him walk got his degree from Mississippi State via the link of Mississippi State TV.
Yeah. So you got to watch him walk. That's awesome, man.
Yes, we did. And good morning, Gary.
Hey.
I'm so excited.
Hey,
I
Jalene.
Just absolutely love Chase Brumfield. Okay, I'm about ready to cry, so I won't say much. But you have the best producer when he is there with you. I love him. He's a stand-up person. You know, he watches his language. He knows his stuff. And you're the only one that shouted him out this morning, Gary, on your program. And I appreciate you so much. And I thank you for that because he is well deserved. And I love you guys. God bless you and have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Jalene.
Yes,
ma'am. Thank you, Rag Glory. And yeah, congratulations to Chase. I know he's put, you know, a lot of effort into getting to this point. And, you know, we do congratulate him and we are happy for him. It's been, you know, stressful for him trying to get a degree and getting up at, you know, I was talking to Wyatt and Reed earlier. I've been waking up at like 4:30 in the morning, wide awake, but I still don't want to get up. You know, I still ain't in bed. You know, he's having to get up every morning and come in here and, you know, before it's, you know, light. And so, yeah, we're proud of him. We really are. I appreciate y'all calling in.
Gary, may I have just 10 more seconds?
Sure.
Everybody in Alabama within listening distance that knows Sonny J. Turner, Houndstooth Barbecue, he's in the hospital. Serious thing going on. I need some prayers and blessings for him because I'm getting ready to get cleaned up now and go visit him, please.
Well, absolutely. We'll offer our prayers and hope he gets well. Thank you so much, Ragged.
Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Bye.
I appreciate that. Good call there. Yeah, we're happy. We're thrilled for Chase. Wyatt is. Reed is. I am. We all are. All right, that's perfect timing, too. That's going to put a wrap on it for this edition of the Gary Harris Show, the TGIF edition, and for another week. A reminder that we will be back on Monday, and not only will we recap the weekend, but it'll be game week mode for Alabama football, as we'll have a lot to discuss. We'll have media opportunities with the coaches, player media opportunities coming up today, and we'll talk about how big this game is. Now, I said the Auburn game was the biggest game Kevin Board ever coached in because of what was at stake for Alabama football in his career. They won that one. But now that you're getting in the playoff, there's a lot at stake here. You don't want to lose to Oklahoma for a third time in 13 months. I can just tell you. So we'll be discussing all that next week. Have a great weekend for Reed and for Wyatt. I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. We've got the Miller's Edge coming up next. And catch me on TV tonight with your local news. That's right. I'm doing the news now for a little while. But I'll talk to you then, and I'll talk to you again on Monday here on the Gary Harris Show. Have a great weekend.
Listening to the Gary.